So selling is seen as a means by which they get to survive. If you're coming from that energy, then you already have to be in scarcity. You don't understand the abundant nature of the universe, and particularly your own abundance.
Plug into the minds of the world's cutting-edge innovators, visionaries, and thought leaders who are rewriting the rules of sales and success. It's your time to make an impact. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Selling with Love podcast. I'm so excited today. I have Peter Krohn who's joining me. And if you're not familiar with Peter, he has been a thought leader in human performance and human potential. He has worked with celebrities, royalty, CEOs, the general public, more than 200 professional athletes. And it's all about having a holistic approach to the mind, the body, and the spirit. He is someone that's really went onto the mainstream. If you haven't seen him on other platforms such as Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop, Dr. Regan Jatterley's Feel Better, Live More, Andre Ducrum's Know Thyself podcast, he's even been featured on the documentary film Heal. And he really is somebody here to help you get more freedom of mind, get more connected with yourself, get rid of the fear, get live rid of this life of stress, having disease, and find true peace, joy, and vitality. Now, you might be thinking, how do we have this connected to sales? Well, matter of fact, you're going to realize that taking care of all these aspects are going to be massive on your journey and to be more effective in the way that you sell. But also, you're going to also dive into his own journey on how he built his massive brand, his freedom platform. We're going to talk more about his membership for those who are interested. And really, speaking to the spirit of the times of what we can do to navigate, which feels like some uncertainty and how there's a lot of forces that are hijacking our mind. Well, he is known as the mind architect. So we're going to go and dig into that ourselves. Peter, welcome to the platform.
Jason, thanks for having me, buddy. Beautiful intro. I appreciate it. Hopefully I can live up to expectations.
I have very little doubts of such a thing. And I'm going to throw you a curveball, to be honest, because, well, we're in different time zones. We've been trying to coordinate this for quite a while. And for me, it's early in the morning. I'm finding in the last few weeks, and you know, this is early October as we're recording this, God, I feel like I've just stepped on a faster treadmill that just increased the incline by 10%. I feel like the speed has gone up. And when I'm just like getting at the point that I feel like I'm at the end, I feel like things have gone a lot more intense, a lot more difficult. I'm feeling the world almost is a reflection of that. There's tension everywhere. And I'm almost just thinking about that meme that just says like, I'm tired, boss, right now. And so I'm coming to you on this platform and I'm having a sense of being tired. And I don't know if this is something that's just happening within my own mind. And I'd be curious to see, since you're working with so many people, is this a theme of our times? Because it feels like there's a lot of pressures right now.
I mean, for sure. And, you know, if whatever I can do to put the sort of metaphorical blanket around people with a bit of warm milk, which is what it sounds like you need, and sort of rock you to sleep.
Well, that sounds maybe a little too comfortable, but at the same time.
Still got a full day ahead of you.
Well, that's true.
Yes, I think there's been an accumulation of fatigue, both choice fatigue by virtue of the contemporary lives that we all live with technology and seemingly endless opportunities and possibilities, which can be exhausting. But I think there's also a true duress, right, based on the last 3 or 4 years of all of the, whatever you want to ascribe it to, whether you call it the pandemic, the plandemic, the scandemic. You know, most people, if they listen to me, they know where I stand. But it does, unfortunately, generate, inspire, create, at least contribute to a lot of fear and worry for people. And sometimes those worries are well-founded, right? People are sick. People are being fired. People are being excommunicated from their communities because they didn't wear a mask or they didn't take, you know, the jab or whatever it is. And so I think that accumulation of some of the primary needs of a human being belonging, safety, and a sense of worth, right? These are in psychological operations, which, you know, from my perspective, this is what has been going on the last 3 or 4 years. These really appeal to deep primal fears within people. And so when you have that over an extended period of time, then people are going to be tired. You know, they're sick and tired of being sick and tired, but there is an actual phenomenon that contributes to human suffering and true survival instincts when you're fighting an illusory, invisible threat, right? Like this demon out there that's on your cardboard boxes, on doorknobs and coming out of people's nostrils, you know, it's scary, right? So you remove the safety component. Then you create separation, which is the antithesis of what humans want, which is a sense of belonging. You can't even see your family during the holidays, or God forbid someone is in a hospice and dying, you can't go near them, or even your wife is having a baby, you can't be in the same room. So that creates more anxiety. And then lastly, you know, the insanity of somebody's more essential than another person, and as it relates to the workplace. So your value is now in question, right? So you strip a human being of those three primary needs, they're going to go into varying degrees of, you know, panic, right? Terror and certainly submission. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the perfect formula to then present the silver bullet, or in this case, the sharp silver needle that will apparently bring you back to life, which of course it doesn't, and quite often the opposite. So, yes. So basically, there's a lot of suffering, and rightly so, for which I have compassion. I'm very much a stand and speak up about the atrocities that we've been going through, and the powers that be seem very hell-bent on their agenda of whatever it is, depopulation, control, transfer of funds, all of the things, one world government, digital currencies, all the things that we hear about coming down the pipeline, even manipulation of the weather and all of the things. So I have nothing but love and compassion for humans out there who are good people wanting to raise a family. God forbid they go on a vacation for 1 or 2 weeks a year, and otherwise they contribute to society as citizens who actually care. And I do whatever I can to fight the good fight. But to help people overcome that, it's one thing to know it. Okay, well, what do we do about it, right? And that's where we want to recognize the mechanisms that are at play, which is the fundamental energy of resistance, right? Meaning both in terms of the energy of our body, where we're literally resisting something that is, that creates fatigue, right? If you're holding up an object that, say, is only 5 pounds, it's not very heavy. But, you know, ask the same person in 2 hours if they're still holding it with their arm extended, how does their shoulder feel? You know, it's going to be pretty tired. So the invitation for people is to recognize there are things that we can control and there's things that we can't. And the latter requires a lot of faith and surrender. That's not always easy. But really to manage our own garden, to do the best we can to mitigate our own fears, and to trust that there's a greater intelligence at play, that even with all of the frequencies that exist in this dimension, some so beautiful as the love and kindness that we see normally amongst neighbors, and those some as sinister as these evil powers that tend to want to control everybody, that we can nonetheless lean into the light, hopefully, and, you know, to, you know, quote the title of your podcast, use love as a means to overcome whatever dark forces might be out there, and recognize that I really believe that 99% of the world are just good humans who want to hopefully have a relatively decent experience on this planet in this dimension, which itself isn't always easy, and to trust that the other stuff, as they say, fear will break its own heart. So the people that are trying to control everything are coming from a mindset of scarcity and insecurity and inadequacy. And sometimes it takes a while, but invariably that kind of energy will compromise and demise itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, Peter, I think that frames it perfectly. And so I'm very glad for that.
It's a pretty heavy start out of the gate, but hopefully people got something from that.
And that's it for the show today, guys. Yeah, and so good luck out there. And
go fight the good fight, folks.
Well, I noticed, you know, obviously I'm all about the selling with love, but the word that you have in a lot of your vocabulary is freedom. And that seems to be the core value that you speak about and that you share, and that you're very passionate about people acknowledging, because it seems like it's a very powerful antidote to the hijacking happening around us. And so I'd be curious to see, like, how did you come to the freedom value being the highest one here?
Great question. And I think it does, you know, have certain bedfellows like love and worth and joy and possibility. But freedom to me is sort of the container, it's the catch-all, it's the space within which all of those other beautiful qualities and characteristics of what I would say is our inherent soul nature, they belong, right? So I think freedom really was the experience that I fortuitously sort of stumbled into almost through, you know, my own forms of adversity. In this case, it was a relationship that ended where a girl that I, at the time, as best as I knew, thought I was in love with, you know, the sort of the puppy love that we know in our 20s. And when she left, I fell apart, which was really sort of an extension of my fear of loss, my parents having died when I was young. So she sort of represented that next value proposition, you know, after the most precious things, my own care providers, mum and dad, had died. And so, you know, the ripe old age of 27, 28, this woman comes into my life and sort of those very understandable young tender hooks got linked and attached to her as the form of love. So when she left, I sort of fell apart. And like most of my friends or anyone who's gone through a breakup, and if you struggle, you know, it was hard. But at the end of what was about a 7 to 8 week process of my own grief, I was sitting there one day and I had all these questions still sort of ruminating around my mind of like, where is she? Is she dating someone else? Will I see her again? Will I find love like that again? And in one foul swoop, I got the answer to all the questions, which was three words. I don't know. I don't know where she is. I don't know if I'll see her again. I don't know if she's dating someone. I don't know if I'll have love like that again. And what I realized at that moment was that the very nature of life itself is uncertainty. And when you realize that the nature of how we perceive the future is usually a reflection of a history you haven't accepted yet. So I tell people, your future is not actually something you're creating, but rather remembering and then usually trying to avoid. It's a very powerful distinction. And people are like blown away just by that one statement, right? They're like, holy shit, that's all I've been doing for 30, 40 years and why I have anxiety. So we're at that moment, to come full circle to your question, I felt an experience of freedom cascade through every cell of my body that I didn't even know was possible. And that's all I could, you know, ascribe it to, was I was just free. I was free from my own vacillations. I was free from my own superimposed worries into a future that I was completely oblivious to. And so that really set the tone sort of 26 years ago to realize that what I feel we're all looking for is freedom. And you can give it different names, right? Relief, joy, happiness. But really it's freedom from the constraints that I assert we arrive with, which sort of fall into those buckets of some feeling of inadequacy, some feeling of insecurity, and some feeling of scarcity, right? The I'm not enoughs, or I'm not safes, or I'm not loved. All of those create an immense amount of stress, duress, and suffering. And so as far as I'm concerned, the actual opportunity that it is to be human is to break free from those prisons, hence freedom.
Amazing.
And thank you for coming to the show, folks.
Well, Peter, you know, I'm thrown back. I have a friend, because I feel like this ties into what you're saying and connects it on a spiritual level. I had a friend who had created this product line of colognes, and it was tied to the chakra system. And it was like every single chakra existing. And he had eight different colognes. And it was like, wait, isn't there seven chakras? And what he explained was like, well, yeah, but when everything is in alignment, the chakra of what this is all about is freedom. And freedom was like the top kind of eighth pillar. And as you're sharing this, it reminds me of that in the end, like freedom is almost everything that we're going for. Now, I know that I've often heard the definition between freedom from and freedom to, because there's like certain stages in life that you're trying to find freedom from monthly expenses that are burning you down, or the debt that's kind of in your life. And then the freedom from all these things that you need to respond to get you to a place where you're, oh, okay, I'm above water now. And then there's kind of this freedom to being inspired or taking action. Do you make any kind of distinction that way as well? And do you have some advice that comes from one perspective or the other?
No, I mean, I do speak to that. And to me, that's how we tend to relate to time, albeit most people's relationship to time is dysfunctional, right? So freedom from is really speaking to history or our past. Right, so it's the freedom from whatever has previously been weighing us down, a constraint, as you said, expenses or even traumas, memories, relationships that are actually behind us. But for the most part, because we're human, we tend to hold on to our history as evidence as to why we need to live in fear or anxiety today. So that's freedom from something that's actually expired, right? It's finished. But yet most people's history isn't behind them because it's still occupying their thought processes today. And then freedom too is more aspirational as opposed to expirational, right? So it's more we're heading towards something that occurs to us as a possibility or an opportunity. I want to have the freedom to travel to Iceland, you know, Bali, whatever it might be. So that's aspirational. Yeah. But to me, mine is much more all-encompassing. It's freedom for all of it, right? Freedom from all aspects of time and space, so that I recognize my actual nature is freedom. It's not so much that Peter Krohn is free, but rather I am freedom itself.
Okay.
that left you stunned for a second.
Does it show? I'm trying to bring it.
Maybe it's the fatigue, but I feel as we get into this conversation, your fatigue is waning, which
You know what? I didn't even have a coffee because I was like, I don't think I'll need it for someone who is going to be a mind architect. I think they're going to be doing just fine.
Yeah. Work in mysterious ways, my friend.
Wait, so like that's a statement that makes me go like, hold up a second. But like, what does that distinction mean and how does it change in your actions when you embody that I am freedom?
So, you know, when you recognize that every human being by design, the actual equipment that we are collapsed with, like brain and body, right? The hardware, this meat suit that we interface each other with and then life itself, we become very, I would say, misidentified with this persona, right? Recognizing that our view of life gives our world. People think there's a world out there and that we're all looking at the same world, which is a complete misnomer. What you're looking at is your own view of the world. So now that view is very subjective. And this is why people could walk into an auditorium, somebody could be speaking, whether it be, you know, beautiful wisdom that's spiritual, it could be sales tactics, or it could be, you know, to do with tactical armed forces strategies. It doesn't really matter what the subject matter is. Everybody's going to have their own interpretation. For some people, it could be euphoric. For some people, it'd be confrontational. So you've got one person saying something. In this case, you know, in this podcast, I'm saying something. For some people, they're like, holy shit, that just fucking blew my mind. For somebody else, they might be saying, I don't know who this guy is. Like, why am I listening to this? This is a waste of my time, right? So everybody's going to have their own world. Now, what that does is it gives us each this subjective view and this I. So when we go to bed at night, especially when there's these quiet times, you're driving in your car alone, you're in the shower, there's a dialogue, a narrative that we think of as ourselves. It's the voice in our head, right? And so that I is the subjective experience, or what I call the walking conversation, that we become misidentified with. So you could argue, you know, that I does some work, attends some workshops, reads some spiritual books, maybe listens to Peter Crone or some other aspirational guests on your show, and they're like, oh my gosh, I now feel free. That's great. That's definitely an upgrade to most people who aren't free. Going back to your original question, they're tired, they're frustrated, they're under the guise of, you know, I'm a victim of my circumstances, my boss, my job, they suck, whatever it is. That's a victim mindset. That's the antithesis of being free. So being free as an individual is certainly an upgrade to most human beings' experience of planet Earth. But when we go beyond the personal and we go into the actual experience of a characteristic, then I am freedom itself. I'm the essence of freedom. It's not so much that I, so it's the absence and the dissolution of the I, which is a very advanced spiritual teaching, which is hard to grasp because it's like, well, what do you mean? I can see you. There's a you there, right? So, of course, that's where language becomes limited. We need words, but at the same time, words become the obstacle to what is already there. So I can only speak to it, point to it, and then people will have the experience of it or not, right? Like there was a beautiful analogy used by Ramana Maharshi when people go to his ashram and listen to him do satsang. He would say it's as though people are walking in with gunpowder in their hand. And if they cupped their hand, some of the gunpowder for some people would be submerged in water, so it's completely saturated. And for some people, there's no water and the gunpowder is bone dry. And so for the person with whom the saturated water it's covered, the same insight could be the most powerful distinction that he shares. It won't resonate in a way that they have this huge like epiphany, but it is nonetheless slowly reducing the amount of saturation of the gunpowder. Versus a person who has dry gunpowder, they have this ignited moment of like, wow, that just changed the course of their life. It's transformational, right? So understanding those distinctions and that we all have our own views, for some people, realizing, holy shit, I am freedom itself transcends the illusion of this isolated thing that we call I. And that's just an advanced state of, you know, truly tapping into source, capital S, versus, you know, self, small s.
Mm. You shared how in a turning point in your life, you had what seems to be a moment like this that kind of changed the direction in your life, that you've gotten a chance to experience it. And I think for a lot of people that, you know, it's like, okay, well, I want to skip to the good part. Like it's, this, what he's talking about, that capital S source, that's what I want, right? But what you've just shared, given that we all have different perspectives, I feel like it makes it very hard to give a prescription on how somebody can go and experience that, but there must be clues that make it more likely to happen or activities that can help you get on that path. Am I assessing that correctly?
For sure. No, very astute of you. But even in your own languaging, right? Like sort of on behalf of your audience, say, oh, I want that, right? So therein lies the problem. The I that wants it is the obstacle to it. It's so slippery, right? It's the Chinese finger trap.
I had a feeling we were going to go there.
Yeah, like shit.
Damn it.
Yeah. So that becomes, you know, sort of the refinement, right? It's like you can perfect the eye, you can refine the eye, you can upgrade the eye, but eventually you have to discard the eye. And it's like Sri Nisargadatta, who was, for me, one of my favorite teachers, albeit, you know, it's only through his books and his writings because he had passed. But, you know, he said, it's like who we are as an individual, the subjective self, is a doll that made out of salt, right? A salt doll. And he said, enlightenment is throwing the doll back in the water, right? Because as you throw it into the ocean, it's not like the soul goes anywhere, but it disintegrates. It's the dissolution of the idea of oneself. So, but that's the last thing the ego wants to do. The ego will fight to the nth degree to keep its existence. This is why people have to be right. This is why relationships has always conflicts, right? Because whether between lovers in a marriage or nations or religions, like, you know, somebody wants to be right. And guess what? The other person wants to be right. And so that's, you know, the attention to the perpetuation of, and really the attachment to the identity, which is really in the way of the unity and harmony that exists beyond all of it. So there, it is slippery. There is a prescription, but the prescription is, you know, to try and get rid of yourself. But then how do I get rid of myself? It's a bit of a conundrum.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, at this point, I'd like to make a call to action for you to go to petercrone.com and check out the Freedom Mem, because obviously there's a lot of tools that you share. A lot of them are free. A lot of them are paid, various products. So I'm going to invite people to explore that deeper. But I'm also going to speak on kind of a tangent here, because we've started with, you know, getting something for people to get their grasp on the times, understanding that we want to experience that freedom, being freedom. There's like an amazing end state, and it's going to be a path that's kind of our life journey in itself right then and there. And so there's going to be something for people to grasp onto that. But oftentimes when I bring on guests, I'm also very curious into the mechanisms that got you into being into this place that you are now. One thing I'd be curious about is when you had this, you spoke about the breakup you had in your late 20s. It sounds like that was one of the pivotal moments that you've had a transformation within yourself. Was it a moment of like embracing spirituality? Because I also had like a breakup in my late 20s that kind of got me to realize how important spiritual as a pillar was. But I had a whole background in business, and I kind of, you know, saw myself more complete and be able to do some incredible things from there. But I'd just be curious to see, how did you integrate like the spiritual side? Was it something that you always had, or did it come from that moment?
Great question. I think I actually started that kind of spiritual based conversation, because to me, at the end of the day, it's all sort of narrative, right? When I was in college, so probably a decade prior, like I was sitting under a tree with a friend back in the day when most of my buddies were just getting drunk, you know, and it's not to say that I didn't have my fair share of libations and alcohol. I had fun, but I also love to have a different discourse with this friend of mine. And we would talk about the nature of consciousness, and he was a great inspiration. He would, even back then, you know, showing my age, which is sort of 3-4 decades ago, he would still only eat food that if you dropped it on the soil, it would eventually grow, meaning it had life force in it. So he had a completely unique, for me at the time as a, you know, 19-year-old or whatever, he had a unique view on things in terms of the essence of prana or life force or energy. So that for sure planted a lot of seeds in this realm of spirituality. The event that I just mentioned earlier about the breakup, that was, I would say, that sort of hyperspace experience where I went from, as best as people could integrate or interpret, the caterpillar to the butterfly. It was a metamorphic type experience for me where I could never have calculated that. That wasn't, to go back to your word, prescription. I didn't follow a formula. It was just an epiphany, and whether that's just the design of my mind and how I'm able to channel and tap into these sort of deeper truths. But I can't really take credit for it, you know, because it's something that happened to me, for me, through me versus by me. But nonetheless, it opened up an entire Pandora's box of what is this human experience. So Yes, it's always been there. And I would assert it is for everybody, right? We're spiritual beings having a human experience. So regardless of whether it's, you know, a child, idiot, savant, or these indigo children that we hear about who have these knowings from a very young age, 3, 4, 5, or you're, you know, somebody who's sadly close to taking your last breath and you're in your 80s and you have some epiphany about, oh my gosh, this was all an illusion. Why did I take it so seriously? So I'm just grateful that it happened at such a relatively young age so that I was able to reveal the matrix and enjoy it, but not be bound by it and certainly not be diseased by it.
Oh God, I need to go back into spiritual because we're having so much fun. So I want to ask for, given that it sounds like we all have some sort of like, you have these people that have these epiphanies very young, some much older. And so we're all going on different paths. And there seems to be some sorts of, I don't know if you, this is your beliefs, but some sort of contract that we come in through here to have certain experience. And I'm trying to reconcile this with the freedom that we are as well on how much are we completely free to shape this destiny versus how much do we feel like this experience has been kind of preordained for, you know, whatever our soul wanted to experience and has encountered us with maybe some more difficulties than others or more ease than others, but having the freedom to kind of maybe change that path if you feel like you want to change that path. But then that seems to be back to, oh, well, that's what I want. And that's missing the point again. So I feel like I'm kicking myself here, Peter.
No, you're doing a great job. I have to say, you know, there's not many hosts who could keep up with this level of eloquence. So I appreciate that and acknowledge you for being able to articulate it that well. So,
and my ego is very grateful for the validation. Thank you.
I'm just keeping the eye around it a little longer for you. I'm actually doing you a disservice. No, I would say it's both, right? The way that I say, you know, the way I tend to phrase it is that, you know, we're here to transcend the constraints with which we arrived is the opportunity that it is to be human. So oftentimes we'll ascribe our struggles today in middle management, a divorce for the second time, no money, sickness because our parents were assholes or whatever, you know, and this is a victim mindset, right? Where we're at the effect of what happened to us. And that's not the narrative that I subscribe or that I wish to help people understand. Rather, you are a soul that you got entangled with whatever fears and constraints that you did. And so you will curate the events that you need in this lifetime to be able to break free. The only sort of quote unquote co-creation part, as far as I'm concerned, is to what degree are you ready to let go? Because as I said earlier, the ego's number one imperative is to be right. And so it's almost like the pain of suffering living within the prison of the constraint has to at some point outweigh the pain of discipline of change, right? And until that happens, people tend to stay in their comfort zones, albeit their comfort zones are discomforting, if you really get it. And that could use any forms of escape, right? Prescribed medication, street medication, weed, alcohol, sex, food. There's nowadays, sadly, for humans, going back to my point earlier about the number of choices, the paralysis that can come through choice fatigue, we have a myriad of ways of placating our pain, right? And so sadly, it can prolong this emancipation and liberation opportunity, but it's both, right? Meaning we are beneficiaries of life, not victims of it. And simultaneously, whether we can recall it or not, my assertion is that as souls, we did sort of sign up for whatever it is appropriate in this lifetime that we're ready to face in order to emancipate ourselves from these unconscious prisons. So the good news is you can't fuck it up. You know, you can't fuck it
That's
up.
That's all we want to hear, Peter. It's going to be okay. This is the answer I was looking for from the beginning.
It's that beautiful meme, right? It says it all works out in the end. If it hasn't worked out, it's not the end. The question is, to what degree do we sustain suffering versus go headlong into the fear and constraint, right? I guess that's really my point is, I personally, having done this now for so long, work with some of the greatest performers around the world, have learned that the greatest access to freedom is ironically constraint. And constraint can come in many forms, like true limitation, whether it be physical, financial, psychological, but certainly more, it tends to be emotional. And so wherever we feel some sort of limitation, the opportunity is not to negate it or numb it or deny it or disprove it, but really inquire into why do I feel this fear? Why do I feel this upset? And to use that as access to discovering on the other side of it that actually it's a lie, and that beneath the constraint, who I am at my core is nothing but freedom, power, love, vitality, all of these qualities that I'm looking for.
Yes. Hell yes.
Hell yeah, baby. If you're into that kind of shit, which I personally
100%, which is why I'm very lit up now. So forget the tired Jason at the beginning. I'm leaning into this.
Yeah, tired, schmired.
I'm going to ask you, I don't know if this is a controversial question, but I'd be curious to know, do you see things happening or being shared and accepted as a truth in the kind of spiritual community that you find does more harm than good? And it's kind of like, oh, you're like, oh God, why is this being perpetuated? It's probably holding us back more.
Oh, a particular theme that I might notice in someone, you mean?
Well, I was going to say in a theme from like, you know, if you're hearing people saying, you know, I'll give you an example. I've had a guest and I'm not going to quote him, and it's been a long time, that they would say like, when you're facing a decision between your goals and your feelings, ignore your feelings. And for some people, like they would have a stance saying like, this is absolutely not true. But there's a lot of things that get shared by a lot of different people. And some of them, I'm sure you have a stance against being like, actually, this is probably not right.
Yeah. Yes, I get what you're saying now. And again, I first want to, you know, put the disclaimer that I'm also human, right? And I don't want to, for any intents and purposes, come across as, oh, Peter Crone is the gospel. The way I would put it is we're all doing the best we can within the limits of the awareness that we currently have, right? So my awareness today is far more expanded than it was 20 years ago, and even more so perhaps 15, you know, and 10 years ago, where it's more refined. It might not be so dramatic, but it's more subtle. And so I for sure can hear other thought leaders and spiritual teachers out there in the world who I could definitely, from my own personal perspective, go, okay, that's not actually true, but I could see why they're saying it, because they'll probably get a lot of credit card numbers. But, you know, I love quotes, right? You may know that, you know, I write in quotes, I share quotes. It's going to be the main format of my first book that I'm working on. And I'll say, you know, there's no greater debt collector than karma. And so even if somebody is quote unquote done wrong by somebody where it feels like an injustice, sure, you know, the go-to is what? Revenge and bitterness and anger. And, you know, that's okay. Sometimes it's appropriate, depends what happened. But for the most part, that only creates more disease in yourself, right? And so I tend to trust that there's such a divine intelligence out there that if somebody needs to speak derogatory of me, which fortunately doesn't seem to happen anyway, but as an example, or somebody were to steal something from me, I'm like, look, first of all, if they really need it more than me, have at it. And secondly, you know, the karma will take care of the consequences of your actions. So that's where I don't have to, this little old me, feel like I need to control the circumstances of everybody else's life, which a lot of people tend to do. And, you know, many of your listeners might go, holy shit, I'm trying to control everything and everyone around me, my spouse, my children, my parents, my boss, my, and it's like, you know, I let people be who they are. I speak my truth as authentically as I can. And I trust that whether you believe in God, Allah, Krishna, or whoever, they'll take care of the details.
Fantastic answer to that question. And you even hinted towards this concept like manipulation. And let's be clear, sales often is linked to that word. There's a lot of ways to do sales wrong. And what I shined a light on is there's a lot of ways to do sales right. And, you know, shifting gears into the sales part of this conversation, I'd be curious to know, like, you're obviously someone that's spoken on stages around the world. You speak extremely powerfully. You sell your I Am Freedom clothing. You have your Freedom membership. So sales is a part of your current life. Has sales been something you've embraced from a young age? Is it something you've developed, or is it still something that you have a complex relationship with? I'd be curious to know.
For sure. I would actually say the way I got to the position that I'm in terms of having a thriving business was not because of sales. The way I articulate it is I always say I've got nothing to sell, I've just got something to share. And so for me, which really speaks to the topic of your podcast, right, it's really sharing to me is loving, right? And because, again, if you're not in the energy of scarcity, which sadly most people are when they're selling because it's their livelihood, it's their monthly rent or mortgage, it's putting food on the table for their kids, So selling is seen as a means by which they get to survive. If you're coming from that energy, then you already have to be in scarcity. You don't understand the abundant nature of the universe and particularly your own abundance, right? So for me, once I revealed the matrix, I realized there's nothing I need. There's nothing I have to say. There's nothing I have to do. I am all of it, which then removed any of the dis-ease that can be associated with the limitation of scarcity, inadequacy, or insecurity. Then what I realized is I just have something to share, and those who are ready to hear it, inspired by it, or aspire to the things that I speak about and live, they will naturally want to have some form of exchange, whether it's monetarily, it's trade, it's gratitude, it's service. So in a world where you understand the energy of money and being human, nothing is lost, right? It's all conserved. So for me, selling was never, ever my MO. There's nothing that I have to sell, ever. All I'm doing is sharing. And those who are willing or inspired by what I'm sharing are naturally going to find their own way of reciprocating what it is that I'm sharing. So it took any pressure off me of having to do any selling.
Mm. And I would want to go back into the original. Do you remember some of the first either royalties, celebrities, or CEOs that you ended up working with? And do you have an anecdotal story on how you were able to get that first big client that kind of really helped you propel the awareness and the brand of the Peter Crohn?
Yeah, I mean, there's many, and I tend not to drop names just because I feel it's, you know, okay, it might be tempting or whatever. I think I used to say it this way, which sounds a bit crass. It's like, you know, I care so much, I don't care less about who you are, right? Like, so it's like, that's where I felt like I was able to access some of these, what people might think of as VIPs, because I just saw a human being. And every human being by design has got their own factory settings of limitations. So whether you're worth $1 billion or you've got 1 billion followers or, you know, whatever it is that, you know, you've got 1 billion women that want to sleep with you or, you know, whoever the fuck it was, with all due respect, I'm like, I know because you're human and you're here on planet Earth that you suffer and I can help you with that. You know, whether you're on billboards, on movie screens or on album covers, or on TV playing big sports events, it doesn't matter. You know, so again, that's, I think, because of the energy. Again, life is all about vibration, frequency, and energy, if you listen to Tesla, right? So when I tapped into that realm, I realized that it's kind of like take it or leave it. I know what I do. I can wow anyone. I can free people's minds. So whether you're a stay-at-home parent who's struggling to pay mortgage, or you're a celebrity who just got like a $1 billion deal for being an athlete, like, okay, great. That's awesome. Now let's go beneath the surface and see what are you actually confined by? Because that's what I'm interested in. Because again, my commitment is to freedom, regardless of who you are.
I love that. I don't care about the individual, but I'd be curious, because there's a lot of people listening. They're like, wow, I'd love to be able to get these kinds of clients. But they also have, you know, thousands of people that might be knocking at their doors, either selling or sharing, to want to offer value based from their perspective, feel like it's going to be more offer, like more value than what they ask in return. But there must have been some things you had in place that opened the door for you. So did you do a lot of connection? Had you built a social media? Was there like something that allowed you to have an open door to have your first types of clients?
I think it goes back again to energy, not to sort of in any way dismiss the question in terms of practical answers. But I think going back to what I said earlier, I couldn't have possibly known that at the moment I was sitting at my desk when I was in a rent control apartment, that I would get the answers that would reveal, you know, the very truthful and sensical response to those seemingly unanswerable questions, right? Where is she? Will I see her again? I don't know. And at that moment, it's like a portal opened where I was no longer living in fear. And so the energy of being complete in myself, not having anything missing, is, I feel, the precursor to the seeming coincidences or coincidences of somebody who reaches out through my website, who says, hey, we've got a VIP that's interested in your work. Or, you know, it's not strategic, my work. Of course, there's times where we're going to do some actual marketing to my mailing list because we have a new product we're launching, or I'm excited, obviously, when my book comes out next year, that we'll let people know about it. But that then comes back to the sharing, you know? I mean, think about how many people have heard about my mastermind, which is this incredibly powerful 3-month container. They've heard about it, but they didn't sign up. Okay, great. That wasn't for them, right? So all we can at best do is share, hope that our sharing is at some level for some people inspirational. It shows them a glimpse of what might be possible for them. And then that's the invitation. Outside of that, as I said, you know, again, I'm not particularly religious, but people say let go and let God, right? So when you can transcend that I that is so slippery that we discussed earlier, and you recognize the essence of who we are, which is I am abundance itself, I'm no longer looking for it outside of me. I am love itself. Why then would I ask somebody to bring it to me? Of course, it's fun to have those things reflected by meeting someone you're in love with or getting a big check or a big opportunity or a big deal. But those things aren't what bring me the experience of love and abundance because they are my nature. And when we live from the qualities that we think we're going to find exogenously outside of ourselves, then we manifest them effortlessly. If we're in the mindset of scarcity, inadequacy, and insecurity, then we're always looking to the outside world to provide them at which level we're never going to get them fulfilled. You know, you can at best have them transitory, but then you're going to lose them. Something will happen. Your business goes under. Someone steals something because you're embodying the energy of lack itself. So this is what I teach. This is what freedom is about, to find freedom in all areas of your life, not just financial freedom, spiritual freedom, emotional freedom, relationship freedom, right? So that it doesn't matter because I am at the source of my entire experience. Everything outside of me is simply a reflection. And most people have it the other way around.
Peter, you have come on the show and have given me a lot of thought to sit with and to take onto perspective. And I have a feeling that this might be a shared experience with a lot of the listeners. It's been an absolute joy having you come in and share with us all of these messages around freedom. The biggest takeaway here is, as you're, especially on this final statement, is my mind started to wander around the biggest things that have happened in my life to bring me to a point where I am living in Bali right now and I'm working with certain clients. And I was like, how much of a plan did I have for those things to happen? And, you know, coming back to where I'm in university in Ottawa, Canada, and thinking like, oh, should I take this management trainee program so I can manage a franchise of a paint store? Like, I remember holding that pamphlet and then comparing that life path to like what I'm doing now, hosting this podcast, writing a book, talking with you. I'm just like, I couldn't have planned that. That didn't come through a series of like step one, step two, step three. It seems to have come from these, call it micro moments, that based on the language you're sharing and my best understanding of it, is these micro moments of experiencing being a source of freedom or whatever is, I would use love in this case, where then something got attracted to me. I've taken a step in a certain direction. I responded to something and now I'm just like, holy shit, here's where I am. Going back and telling Jason, like, bro, you're gonna be fine. This is gonna be great, is a fantastic thought experiment for me. And I think in the closing the loop on my opening, which was, I'm tired, it feels overwhelming, it feels completely different than what you're saying as a reflection. It feels like things were projecting on me. And from this reminder in this conversation, I'm just like, hold on a second. I need to take back ownership. I need to take back control and realize that if I am freedom, which might be my first step, I need to actually start realizing what is it that provides these amazing moments, this abundance, and this amazing life. Might be looking in a completely different direction.
Beautifully put. And just to help people, you know, because again, I don't want to make it too esoteric, although I think I speak very practically, but just, I do like to use metaphors or analogies. And if people think of an old style radio, you know, you would tune the frequency on the radio, right? Which is sort of reflective of our frequency, us being the radio. What is the frequency that I am, quote unquote, living from and emitting? And then music is everywhere. It's ubiquitous. Like, it's all around us, right? In this case, the radio frequencies. And so depending on the frequency you tune into, you will automatically, without any effort, attract the appropriate music to that frequency, right? You don't tune into 97.5 FM, which is hard rock, and then get upset because you're not listening to R&B, right? Like, you go to the appropriate frequency. So likewise, if somebody right now is frustrated because they didn't get the promotion, they didn't get the sales, they didn't meet their quarterly budget, whatever it is, then your energy is, it's too late, right? You're saying that I'm at the effect of the events of my life, not realizing that the events of your life are actually at the effects of your frequency. So then if you want to play with the power of creation, which is an advanced state, then who would you be if not only did you meet your budget, but you doubled it or your sales? how would you feel? And play with that. Wow, I'd be ecstatic. I would be talking to my wife differently. I'd be more playful in the workplace. Or you would start to see the emerging of a different type of you, which is literally a different human being who's emitting a different vibration, which is the precursor, quote unquote, the radio, to different songs, outcomes, showing up on your doorstep. So that's something for people to play with.
Well, I think that leaves a powerful call to action for people to explore at the end of this conversation. And of course, I do want to allow people to go to peterkron.com, have a look at the online platform, the Freedom Membership. There's so much more from Peter being shared on that platform that you get to dig in, explore, and go on this journey to actually rewire or retune your own frequency. If you're seeing outcomes in your current reality is something that you want to change, or you just want to enhance and just have a great connection with this whole community that he's put together, I definitely encourage you to go check it out. I think he's put it at a price that's very affordable, and it's a great share for everybody who's here on the podcast. Peter, I do ask one question in closing for all my guests, and it's, what does selling with love mean to you?
What does selling with love mean to me? I would say what hits me, it is the authentic sharing of my true self.
I like it. Peter, thank you so much for your time. It was an absolute pleasure having you on the show. I think for everybody, there's a powerful call to action. And I will tell you all, go out there, and usually I'd say sell with love, but now I will say be source of freedom. Take care, everyone.
I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.